Father, we know you are promised and able to do anything. If you have the message stuff going on, you let me know, please, when you do. While we wait for them to sort it out and they are back, I want to thank everybody for showing up this morning. But it looks like we're a little quiet. I don't know why. Is there any reason for that? Eh? The Lord is good, amen? And God is going to bless you how to do. I'll preach probably a very short message, but I want us to pray at the end of that message. We are fighting a battle. We are fighting a war. And at times, we don't know that we are fighting a battle. But God is our victor. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen? God has already fought a battle for us and won. Amen? And so, whatever you are going through this morning, I want to encourage your heart. Do not be afraid. Amen? Believe that God is able to deliver and forgive. Amen?
Amen.
Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Can you bring before me and let me be here, please? In case we don't have this. Not recorded. So let us believe God for what He's going to do. As I said, if you have any situation that is dire this morning and you don't know how you're going to go about solving it. This week alone, three or how many people have approached me with mountains in their life. Not necessarily members of this church. One of them is a Caucasian couple. I was praying with them. And they really are facing a mountain. They really are facing a mountain. Such insurmountable situation that can make any heart to panic, if not for God. And at times we find ourselves in this situation, either maybe ourselves or our loved ones. And we say, what can we do? Then we say that my eyes is upon thee, O Lord. Amen? Amen. From whence cometh my help? Blessed be the name of the Lord. So the title of the message this morning is a little different, but I say I will be brief to the point as much as possible. And then we can pray. I want us to pray and intercede for one another. Satan is having a field day at times. And he shouldn't be having a field day. Jesus Christ has already conquered every work of darkness. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Every work He has conquered them. So when we say in the message today, when you feel like Ezekiel in the valley, when you feel like Ezekiel in the valley, Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 1 to 4. When you feel like Ezekiel in the Bible, when he found himself in the valley, and he said, it came to pass in the 11th year, in the 10th month, in Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 1 to 4. In the third year, and the hand of the Lord, he said, the hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord. Now listen to this. I want to bring out some point to you. The hand of the Lord was upon this child of God. The hand of the Lord was upon this servant of God, upon this prophet of God. And God took him to somewhere, a situation. He didn't run him to the mountain where everything looks nice, everything looks great. Where did God take him? He said, and he set me down in the midst of the valley. At times it happens. That if God may be in that situation, but that situation is not necessarily going to be in the mountain where everything is nice, where everything is settled, where you can see from that high and elevated position. But in the valley where you have to look upon this mountain, and the mountain looks insurmountable, it looks like, whoa, there's no way I can go through this. But that is where God, his hand upon the servant of the Lord took him to, and he set him down where? Somebody say with me, in the valley. But that's not the beginning, that's not the end of the story. But this valley was full of bones. This valley was full of dead, dying, things that seems impossible to revive. The key to this message this morning will be, can we heed the word of God? Can we heed the word of the Lord? That word that is exalted even above his name, according to Psalm 138:2. Don't put it in scriptures. He said, thy word, O Lord, is exalted even above thy name. Can we heed that word when it contradicts your own feeling, what you are seeing, what you think, what you imagine? Can we heed the word of God when it looks like this, I don't see any solution out of this situation? Even though the word says this thing, but my eyes, my five senses is telling me otherwise. And so God caused him to pass round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. Now, the bones are not just dead. The bones are not just dry. They were very dry. It's like knuckle bone. They are writing down over rays, over the sunshine, they just bleached dry bone. Very dry. What has well gone through Ezekiel? And as you progress a little, you may identify at times you are in this situation. So I say during the week I minister to different people, not many members of this church, that are in that situation. I can see it from their eyes. And it looks like there is no way out. In fact, this today I also spoke to someone who may see himself in the same valley, in the same situation, and it looks like there is no way out. What do we do in that situation? Move on to verse 3, please. Quickly. And then God started to speak to this ordinary man, even a prophet, just a child of God like me and you. The same word that is given to me is given to him and to you, to all of us. And he said unto me, son of man, can this bone live? That is kind of a very tough situation. Even politicians who know how to answer, and they used to find a way to wiggle out of questions. Now I'm looking at the bones that are there, situation that are there, circumstances that is dry, mountain that is way beyond what I can think or see or do. It is heart-wrenching. It is fearful. It is agonizing. My five senses are telling me there's nothing that can be done about it. The sense of sight, the sense of smell, the sense of touch, every one of them, my hearing, my thought pattern, every one of them is contrary, telling me this is a situation nothing to be done. And God asked the man and said, can this go? Can this be a situation? Your marriage that is dying, your finances that is tanked, your spiritual life that has gone out of whack, your children that are not obedient are disobedient, and there seems no control. Somebody cried to me during the week, what will I do with my children? Somebody cried to me, my situation is beyond. Doctors have written me off. Nothing again. Nobody, nothing. There's no way out. But that's the situation that Ezekiel found himself. And God started to ask him a question that he may ask you this morning. Can this go? What did he say? Somebody read with me. And he said unto me, son of man, can this bone live? He scratched himself. He thought about it left and right. He said, I'm not going to answer this. This is a dry bone. He's dead and buried. He's washed away. There's no flesh in them. The Bible even quantified it and said, very dry. And he came up with an answer and said, O Lord, God, thou knowest. Amen? Political answer, not exactly that of a faith that much, but it's okay. Go to verse 5. Quickly, please. 5. Let's move on. 5, please. Thus say the Lord, unto these bones, behold, I will cause bread to enter into you, and you shall live. Amen? Now, this is another dimension that the people moved into. Now, the man has confirmed to God that with you nothing is impossible. Supposing Ezekiel has said to the Lord, I'm not sure, nothing can be done about this book. are the mouth of God. We are the hand of God. We are the eyes of God in this world. Blessed be the name of the Lord. If you cannot believe God, then God can do nothing for you. If you cannot attest even that God is able, which at times when we face those situations, we have to tell God, there's no hope for this. Then the hand of God is tied. What did he give God? An answer that works. You know this. You know what you can do. And God started to speak and say unto these bones, I, the Lord. Amen. He now took it out of the hand of Ezekiel and said, I will cause bread to enter into you and you shall live. Can somebody say to me this morning, my situation that is impossible, I speak to you in the name of Jesus. The Lord will breathe upon them and they will become alive again in the name of Jesus. You start to prophesy to that situation. You start to declare that workplaces that they are about to sit upon your head, you can speak to that situation. That circumstances that is been there for years and years and years, and it has started and you have prayed, you start to speak unto those dead, dry situations in the name of the Lord. Amen. Quickly here, verse 6. And I will lay news. God start to recreate. Start to tell him how this thing at times when we go down the little, I'll tell you. When you start to speak against these spiritual forces, be specific. Tell them how that money will get to the bank in the name of Jesus. That is empty. Tell them that how work, that marriage, everything. Start to describe it by eyes of your faith. And the Lord start to speak and say, I will let you, that is the ligaments and stuff in you again. I will bring up flesh upon you and cover you with skin again. And I will put breath into you and you shall live. And you shall know that I am the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Let's not confide for us and progress. We hope that this message will help us go from playing defense, which is what many Christians do, to taking offense against the power of darkness, against seemingly impossible situations that defy our five senses. The five senses is what creates unbelief. When you use them, instead of going into the other level, I'll come to that. And it says, against our five senses, how do we turn dead, dry, lifeless circumstances to life again? How do we overcome the limitation of the physical levels that are opposing our faith and go into the belief system of the sixth and the seventh level? The five senses are quantified as the five levels that defy opposes our faith and our belief system, which is the sixth and the seventh level, in my own opinion. And in this level, you start to believe. And then this level, you start to have faith. And then you start to put that faith into work by doing what God says you should do. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen? Yeah. Amen? Amen? And then we ask, Allah, what can we do to manifest the nature of God in us and stop limiting God through unbelief? But speak or act. I want to point out to the word of act today. The nature of God that is in us. Speak or act out the nature of God that is in us. Amen? And stop limiting God through our unbelief. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Amen. God is his spirit. And if you have to walk with God, you have to learn to walk with him in spirit. Blessed be the name of the Lord. If you walk with God according to what you see, this situation, according to what you feel, according to what you smell out of what is happening, and you cannot translate beyond the natural, and start to see with eyes of faith that will generate faith in you, then you cannot dig yourself out of those valleys. That is what blessing God was teaching Ezekiel. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Let's go to verse 7 quickly, please. Quickly. Verse 7 of Ezekiel 37:7. Amen. So I prophesied as I was commanded. Amen. Now, God told him to prophesy you can doubt your doubt at times. And go beyond doubting your own self to believing God. Now, this man wasn't too sure. He wasn't exactly sure what is going to happen because, well, what he's seeing is what he's seeing. I mean, it's what we are seeing. It's a dead situation, dead and gone. Now, at times you make mistakes. One day I got a call quickly from the hospital, go there for evangelism and stuff. Come in, and so I came into the hospital. The people told me, basically, think I'm coming to speak to somebody who is alive. I got into the hospital where I do evangelism and chaplain duty. And went inside the door. What was on the table was a dead person. There's a light in the boot that was bringing in when somebody did the abuse process. So, I have nobody there. I have nobody to speak to. I call and say, who is the nurse or the person that called me? They say, this person. So I say, do you guys want me to pray for the dead? Say, no, he's already dead and gone. And it's a mistake on my part. I wanted to ask, I should have asked myself, why was I called? The reason they called me on their own terms was because they want me to minister to the living, to console the widow, the people that are mourning, which is what I did. They gathered the family and I spoke to them. But I should have asked myself, hey, I don't care why you brought me here. I see a dead person here. There must be a reason that God called me to him. At least exercise your faith. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's where many of us make mistakes. We see those things and it throws off. You have no part in doing anything except to do what the word of God says to do. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Do it and leave it in the hands of the Lord. Pray over that situation. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a movement. Amen? If you didn't prophesy, would there be any movement? No. Can somebody answer me this morning? If God has commanded, and Ezekiel did not say anything, and he sat and cried and said, these bones are dead, there is nothing to be done, would there be any movement? No. So overlook what you are seeing. I like to call out my mistakes. Step out of an office and the Lord said, turn to the left. I turn to the left. That's many years ago. And there's a young man on the wheelchair. The Lord said, go take his hand and tell him to walk out of the wheelchair. Jeez, that's my engineering office where I work was right there. What of if I prayed that nothing happened? I didn't even see the money. My senses went into overdrive. What will people say? I don't know who they are. But the same God that has spoken to me in every situation, and I see him walk, was telling me, go take the hand of this guy and get him out. Do you know the glory that God will have wrought in his kingdom that day? But I didn't, because my eyes, my thought, my feeling was opposing the faith of God that should be building up in me. That's the mistake many of us make. We cry and moan over situation. Take offense against the power of darkness. Tell them that the Lord has commanded. And he said, as I was prophesying, there was a noise. And behold, a shaking. Amen. It will go from noise to shaking. God will start to shake the kingdom of darkness. As you start to speak in confidence, as you start to cry out to God, as you start to declare the word of God, don't say, I have not heard from the Lord. The Bible is what? What is this? This is the word of the Lord. He has spoken to you, and he's still speaking to us today. And as he started to make noise, hey, something is happening. And there was a shaking. Hey, glory, something is happening. And the bones start to do what? Come together. Bones to bones. The femur artery, whatever this one, start to knuckle together and it looks like those who didn't even know this will watch. But blessed be the name of the Lord. That is the word of God in process working. Don't be fearful of speaking to the situation. Don't be fearful of fighting that situation. There is a God in heaven. And with him, all things are possible. Not with you, he didn't say with Emmanuel or anybody here, but with God, all things are possible. And he said, verse 8, please, quickly, verse 8. And when I beheld, lo, what is happening here? He said, it's new, and the flesh and came upon them, and the skin covered them above, and there was no breath on them. Blessed be the name of the Lord. When you speak to a situation at times, and a revival is going on, you have to bring life into that situation, because situation can be joined together and fixed together, but it's not manifesting the way it should be. There is a designated purpose for every situation, how God wants it to work. Don't take a break and say, hey, now, yes, the bones are joined together, the flesh is upon them, there's news, everything is, but there is no bread on them. That is another spiritual warfare some of us don't know how to battle. When you speak to your situation, and they seem to be lining up, and they seem to be working out, but you have to measure it with the word of God. It is just something that is working out, but not in the way God wants it to work out, you still need to do a second touch again. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Jesus Christ prayed on the blind man one day. After he prayed and spoke life into his eyes, after he spoke, he said, what do you see? What did the blind man say to him? He said, I see men like trees. Yes, I fixed this radio, but it's not working well. I fixed this watch, it's not working well. There's some noise on the microphone, it's some tinkling. And he did what? He did a second touch. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Don't take half measure. If that your child, you are praying for, you start to see what? I will not rest until I see perfection in Jesus' name. If that marriage you are praying for and is dead and record, and you start to see your man or your woman start to change and work things around, don't relax, don't give up, don't say it is okay now until you see perfection the way God wants it to be. Continue prophesying against that situation in Jesus' name. Amen. If your finances suddenly start to have bread where your pocket was empty before, and also you have live in abundance, believe above and beyond until you see what God really intends for you. If it is your health, don't stop because I'm feeling better until I'm whole, completely whole. Like Jesus said, you are made every week whole. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Now, I quickly. I'll try. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I want to give us some examples of acts, speaking and acting. You know, for instance, in the Bible, at times that God wants us to act and we are speaking. If God wants you to act and you are speaking, it may not produce the same effect. If God wants you to speak and you are acting, I don't have time to go into detail this morning what I have on this acting and speaking. But let me give you some instances where people did not speak or acted. Elisha, when the sons of prophet came to him and said, the head of an ass we are using to cut three fell inside the tree. What did he do? He didn't say nothing. He cut a little tree and a little piece of wood and threw inside the river. And what the Bible says, say that the ass worms came to the surface. He didn't say nothing. Let's say in the name of the Lord. Moses, he didn't say nothing. At that mount, he lifted his both hands. And whenever he lifted hands, the battle was turned to their favor. That is an act. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I have a reason for bringing this. And you know, there was a time one of the kings of Israel was dying, and Elisha came and said, make a cake of feet. That looks like what's going on here, but that's what God said. He went ahead and prayed and acted on that situation, and he put it on this sick man, and he revived. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I remember when Elisha came to the dead woman's son, he didn't speak. He stretched himself over this dead woman's son for 7 times. That's an act. And he acted it out as the Spirit directed him. And the child revived. He didn't speak. He didn't prophesy. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Jesus Christ, at a point, He took a mold, you know, that spit on the ground, mixed it up, and put it in the eyes of the blind, said, go and wash. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He didn't say wash, but that is both speaking and acting. Now, what is an acting? Many of us Christians miss our miracle. Have known that cause it to me. He didn't say pray. He didn't say do anything. He said, go and take the hand of that young man and draw him out of the chair. That's an act. But I didn't even obey. And in many situations, I start to find out that there's a time if you listen to God, God is telling you how to act on your situation. It may be that the act God wants you to do is an act of love. Don't speak. Don't write letters about that time. Say, how do I do this act of love? It may be that there are certain things, you know, in the Bible, I was wondering, instead of God just speaking to them and demolishing the wall of Jericho, he said, go around it 7 times, and you keep blowing, and blowing that trumpet, and say all the time, no God speaks, no quicken, no noise, just walk out and receive it. That's an act, and God honors his word. We are not going to go into detail in this, but if God tells you to act, act it. Blessed be the name of the Lord. If God tells you to speak, speak it in the name of Jesus. If God said to prophesy, don't say, I'm not a prophet, I'm not a prophetess. Speak the word of life, and in due season, there shall be reward. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Ezekiel, you know, he spread the bad news one time. Hezekiah spread the bad news about this king of Assyria coming to kill them. And they delivered the letter. He read the letter, everybody panicked. He didn't say nothing more. He just took the letter and put before God and said, that's an act. He just read the letter. I read it. I don't know what to do with it. It's a bad situation. It's a mountain. Read it, Lord. It's an act. And the Lord read it, and the next day he killed 185,000 of the enemies. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. So if God tells you to act, act. Amen. If God tells you to speak, speak. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Because God will do all things to his glory. Now, quickly here. I say here, the effect of our 5 senses can be very, it can hinder us. How do you overcome these 5 senses? We bring life to this situation when we oppose the offending natures of our 5 senses. You learn to turn off your ear to what you see when you are having an impossible situation before you. You learn to turn off your thinking, your thought process. It's a training purpose you have to put yourself through so that at a point you can block off the voices, block off the feeling, block off the thought pattern and only allow God and what God wants to filter in that situation. You have to train yourself, exercise your spiritual life to the point you can block off those offending, because under that situation you may not do nothing. Let's quickly go to something here, please. 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 10. 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 10. It's the story of heaven in the Bible. And this 5:10, what happened there is that a young girl witnessed to heaven, tried to bring a point about doubting your God and still doing what God wants you to do, and you see results. A young man witnessed, she was taken as a slave to Syria from Israel. And while she was in Syria, in the household of the captain of, like the general commander of the whole army, the man was a leper. And they said, oh, if only my Lord would go to Israel, there's a prophet there that can heal him of leprosy. And the man went there with the king leather, thousands of talents, billions of dollars, to give to the nation. And he came to king of Israel, and the king of Israel started crying, what? Am I God to recover his healing? See how this man is looking for faith to attack me. Then Elijah sent a message, saying, there's a prophet in Israel. There's a child of God in this place of God. There is a woman of God in this place of God. Bring that impossible situation to me. So they brought an impossible situation to Elijah. And Elijah was sitting in his small house. Shaman, one of the palaces all over Syria, was standing outside waiting for Elijah. He said, go and take a swim in the river. Jordan, 7 times. Specific. The specific number may not, or the specific act may not mean anything in terms of how it is to try the obedience of that situation. To try the obedience. Will you listen and do as God has spoken? Say, go and wash in Jordan 7 times. And the man was pretty annoyed. What is going on here? There's better liver in my country. Then the servants come and tell me, they told you to level a mountain, you will do that. But he just said, go to Jordan and wash and be clean. And so he grudgingly went. Now he started to doubt his own doubts. He wasn't fully in agreement with everything because his 5 senses is fighting him. But he went ahead and did as God has commanded. And what happened? He went and died. And I can see him, you know, with his robe and everything, furious and angry, threw himself in that. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. And he is clean again. Blessed be the name of the Lord. There's a time you just have to do it because he looks stupid. I remember telling you guys when God told me in the village, go and raise your hand in the heavens and stop the rain that is about to fall. After the native doctors have already come and told me, there will be rain unless you pay us. And I said, I'm not going to pay you guys. They say, okay, you will see. And they say, okay, you will see. And say, I saw that the rain is already falling. And my mother's burial will be delayed and I'll be insulted. Everybody, I say, go pay them because they can do it. And I say, no, I serve the living God. Then as I was in my room, there was wind and everything, the crowd was gathered. And God said, go outside and raise your hand in heaven and speak to the crowd and give specific commandments. I looked dumb and stupid because I was wearing this, I don't know what you call it, abada or whatever. I look like Moses, but it was a great one. That's it. So I came outside. I raised my 2 hands in the air. And it was a place they have cleared, you know, they have cleared this an open space so that you can see me from every corner of the square. Oh, well, I raised my hand. I want to tell you the truth. I doubted my doubt. I wasn't really like standing there in absolute faith and confidence of what will happen. But I did what? I obeyed. Amen? I went out and raised my hand saying, in the name of Jesus, 30 miles radius from here, there will not be rain in this place for so many number of days. As I'm speaking to you, as God is my witness, the wind, the dark wind start to roll them right from the back. Those of you in those sides say, what are you talking about? There's no way they can. Demons, satanic forces, they can do a lot. But the power of God trumps over all of them. Blessed be the name of the Lord. They later wanted to know what kind of bottom of God. That is magic. That is voodoo. If you use as the saying goes, the voodoo I have is Jesus Christ. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. So doubt your doubts at times and do it against every opposition. In Luke chapter 5, verse 5, quickly here we are rounding up. Luke 5, 5. Peter declared in Luke chapter 5, verse 5, and Simon answered and said unto him, hold on here. What are you telling me to do? I have been fishing in this river. I have been running around all this place through the whole night and I didn't catch a fish. And now you are telling me, after you borrowed my bait, but he forgot something. He gave a loan unto the Lord. And God doesn't pay in a small way. Blessed be the name of the Lord. His interest is far more than you can ever give. So when he gave a loan of his boat to Jesus, right? And Christ finishes in it and says, go and launch and catch some fish. He said, well, it defies my senses as a fisherman. Amen? Amen. I have run around this river all day or ocean or whatever it is. I didn't catch anything in the night. I didn't. And now I have washed my nets. I'm ready to go home and sleep and cry over wasted time or whatever. And they're telling me to go out and catch a fish. And you know, in the night is when you catch a fish. Because it's quiet and they're sleeping and they're moving around or whatever. But now the day after all this crowd has made noise and noise and noise, and all the fish that lived in the year has gone and passed. He was thinking like me and you in the face of situations. Our knowledge can be an opposition. Our wisdom, our education, our beauty, our intelligence, our ability of what we think we have can be an opposition. But he says, what did Christ say to him as we round up here, everybody? And Simon answering, read with me, everybody. And Simon answering, said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will lay down the nets. Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Somebody say blessed be the name of God.
Blessed be the name of God.
Brethren, when you face impossible situation, and God is speaking to you either by his word or through a dream, or through somebody else, or through revelation, and you know that this is God talking, take action in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Say like Simon, I've tried everything in the deep world, but nevertheless had I won. Amen. Let's stand on our feet, everybody. Nevertheless, I am the Lord this man. Glory be to God. Don't allow the devil to tell you that you are different, that you don't receive from the Lord. If you are a son or daughter of God, everybody on our feet has to pray. If you are a son or daughter of the Lord, you will receive from God. God is telling us today to break our fallow ground. Amen? And so we will reap righteousness. The God that is in that valley is also the God that will be on the mountain for you. If you are here this morning and you are facing impossible situation, I want you to quickly step out in the front. If you are here this morning